Will you get your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 40 today, please? We've been taking up the life of Joseph and finding the picture that he sets forth to be a very clear one as he typifies the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation we have through him. Last week, if you who were listening will remember that we noticed that Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver. And we turned to the New Testament and saw how that there, the Lord Jesus, who is typified by Joseph, was sold for 30 pieces of silver. After he was sold by his brethren, he was taken to Egypt and there sold to Potiphar and became a servant in his house. You'll recall how there the wife of Potiphar accused him falsely, and we find him thrust into prison. And this we desire to look at today in the 40th chapter of Genesis, where we have Joseph in prison and God allowing him to be there for a special reason. In the story of the butler and baker, we shall see the reason why Joseph was in prison. And we want to notice how that this is another picture of the reason the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to suffer, to be rejected, and to die, that men might be saved through him, through his death, through his shedding of his precious blood. This is all figured for us in this marvelous story. Notice, if you will, we begin in verse 1 and take up the few points as they come along. It came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. To begin with, you'll notice the reason why they're in prison. That is the butler and baker. They had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. In Romans chapter 5, we read that by the offense of one, many were made sinners. Yes, by sin, men have been by God condemned to death. The wages of sin is death. And we notice that sin of man has brought trouble and difficulty, and has cast him, so to speak, into the bonds of prison. So the baker and the butler are in prison because of an offense that they had made against their Lord. And you know, dear hearer, that all of us who are here in this world are born in sin, shapen in iniquity, and we have all sinned against God. We have all gone our own way, and because of sin, we are condemned by God, and righteously so, because sin is against him. And in that sense, being in sin, we are in a condition of spiritual death, in the prison house, held there by the bonds of sin of our own making. Now you'll notice that in the same place Joseph is found. Joseph is there not because of his own sin. And the Lord Jesus was here in this world. He came into the world his hands had made. He came and took upon himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men. He was here to give himself in death for men. And so we find Joseph in the prison house. He was here because he did not deserve to be. And the Lord Jesus Christ was here to take the sinner's place and to go to Calvary. Not because he deserved to be there. He went into death not because of his own sin, but he went into death because of your sin and of my sin. But you notice here, because he's in prison, because he was there in this place, falsely accused, as the Lord Jesus was falsely accused by his brethren and by men when he was here, it is just here that he meets the need of those who are there. Those who are rightly there. Those who are there because of their own offense. The butler and the baker in prison dream a dream. In these two dreams, we notice, as we have already seen in some of the other pictures of the Old Testament, that there are only two classes in the world today. In Cain and in Abel, we notice there are those that seek to approach God by the works of their own hands, and hence they are not accepted because their sacrifice is the wrong one. And like Abel, there are those who approach God in his appointed way by sacrifice. He took a lamb, he offered it, and God had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now, in this, we see also again, in this picture before us here, how God sets forth the fact that men are approaching him in either the right or the wrong way. There are only two roads going through this world. There are only two classes in this world. There's a broad road that leads to destruction. There's a narrow way that leads to life. There are those that are saved by the grace of God through the work of Calvary, and there are those who are lost. Lost because of refusing to accept Christ and going their own way. They dreamed a dream, both of them, each night. Each man his dream, and according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker, bound in prison, they come into the presence of Joseph, and they look very sad. You know, it's a good thing when conscience is at work. And I trust that everyone here has allowed his conscience, which certainly has been at work. God would reach the conscience, would have us exercised about things, have us concerned as to our need. And they are. And they're in prison. They are concerned and they're sad. And Joseph asks the reason. He says, "Wherefore look ye so sadly today?" And then, of course, they tell him that they dreamed a dream, but they did not have an interpreter. And Joseph says immediately, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." Ah, here was Joseph, the one who was in prison, and the one who was there to serve them. We notice in verse 4 that Joseph served the butler and the baker. And oh, beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to serve you and me. Yes, he did. He was the Lord of all. He's the Creator. He's God manifest in flesh when he was here. And as he is indeed now, man in the glory, he was here to serve. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And he is here to serve the butler and baker. He wants to interpret for them their dreams. And the Lord Jesus Christ wants to interpret for you your need. Yes, he wants to make known that he has the answer to what is troubling you, or whether it troubles you or not. He has what you need, so vitally need. He has life for you through his suffering and rejection and death. The butler proceeds to tell Joseph his dream. He said, "In my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup. And I gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler." And so we have the dream and the interpretation. Do you notice? We have, first of all, that the vine had 3 branches. In Scripture, every number is significant. 3 is the number of manifestation. It's the number of divine fullness. And this beautiful instance of its use here in connection with the vine, for the Lord Jesus Christ is spoken of in the New Testament, you recall, as the true vine. He says himself, "I am the true vine." And the 3 would suggest the divine fullness that was in him. Who was the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that was born in Bethlehem? Beloved, he was God manifested in flesh. In Colossians we read that in him all the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell. Yes, he is God the Son, who came and has fully manifested what God is like. You want to know what God is like? Look at his Son. And Christ was here to fully manifest the Father to us. And he has done so. So in the 3 branches, the fact that there were 3, we have divine fullness of the manifestation of God seen in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you notice it says this vine budded. And then it brought blossoms. And then there were ripe grapes that were taken and crushed. In this we have the scope of the Lord's birth in the buds His life, oh how sweet was his life as it was lived here on earth, as he walked among men doing good, the fragrance of heaven was known everywhere he went, and everything that he said only manifested who he was. The Lord from heaven, the Lord of glory, come to earth. The beauty of his life was seen to faith. And so the blossom of his life was beheld by many, and many were brought to a saving knowledge of him and to trust in what the grapes pressed suggest. In the maturity of the fruit, when he was in the prime of life, he was cut off through his own desire to lay down his life for mankind. And this he has done. The grapes were crushed. In this we have suggested to us also the remedy for sin. It is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other remedy. And what we need, we who are in the prison of death and of sin, we need life. We need forgiveness. And we can have this only through the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you notice that this was taken by the butler. These grapes were personally appropriated. The verse 14 says, Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand. Do you know anything, dear hearer, of the blessedness of personally appropriating the Lord Jesus Christ in his finished work for you? If you don't, you are not saved. Your sin is still upon you. You are still in the prison house of spiritual death. But through the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the personal appropriation of him, like the butler, you may be set free. Because this was what happened. He was delivered out of prison. You'll notice it says, within 3 days, Pharaoh shall lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. Now again, 3 comes in here in a very remarkable way. The 3 days, Pharaoh shall lift up thy head, suggests to us, beloved, that the salvation we have is through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. 3 is the number of resurrection as well as divine fullness. And when you and I take Christ as our Savior, we are given everlasting life. We are brought into resurrection ground and position in Christ, who is now himself, not in the grave, nor on the cross. That work he finished. He is in the glory, at the right hand of the majesty on high. And there he lives to make known his love and salvation to all who will listen to his interpretation. His message of salvation. The butler did. Ah, the butler is a picture of those who personally appropriate Christ and present him to God, so to speak, for their acceptance. What are you trusting in to get you to heaven? What are you depending upon that God will look in favor upon you? He can see no good in you, no matter how moral you might be, how religious you might be. You can only be accepted by God in Christ. And as you bring to him, by faith, saying as it were, O God, Christ, thy beloved Son, shed his blood for me and for my sins. You believe that? You tell that to God by faith? You tell him that you accepted his Son as Savior? He will accept you. Yes, you become accepted in the Beloved on resurrection ground. It's not a patching up of your old life. It is a bestowal of a new life. Resurrection life on resurrection ground. And I believe that this is suggested in the fact that within 3 days, he says, Pharaoh shall lift up thine head, restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand. But it was not so with the baker. He was encouraged to present his dream when he heard of this interpretation. But you notice, his dream was entirely different. He had white baskets on his head, and in the uppermost basket, verse 17, there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head, he said. Joseph answered, this is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the bird shall eat thy flesh from off thee. Now the story is symbolic, and it's figurative, of what the end is for those that seek to approach God by the works of their own hands. You know, they may be very white baskets, whitewashed, but you know, we need more than whitewash. Man needs to be clean on the inside. And when we come to God, we can't expect to offer to Him something that we have done, something that we are in ourselves. All that we are, all that we have done, has been stained and blackened by sin. God cannot accept it. This speaks to us of the works of men's hands. And salvation is not by works, beloved. The Bible is very clear in connection with this. We read that, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Not of works. Think of it. And here we have a picture of those who are seeking to approach God by works. And this is not acceptable. Not at all. And you notice the works themselves, regardless of how good they might be, or how very large they might be, you might do all kinds of good works. But if you're depending on this, beloved, to get to heaven, you will never get there. We are saved to do good works, but we are not saved by doing good works. Notice the difference. There is indeed a vital difference. And the picture here makes it very plain. That which the baker offered to Pharaoh speaks of the works of men's hands. Those baked meats, those things that he had made and prided himself in and put in white baskets, were not accepted by Pharaoh at all. On the other hand, that which the butler offered, it was the fruit of another's work. He couldn't make a vine, but God could. And God has provided what alone can give life to sinners. In the vine is Christ. Christ, who lived here and who died here, willingly giving his life and shedding his blood that we might have salvation through him. Oh, what a difference! Does the listener have Christ as his Savior? Is he the way that you are approaching God? There is no other way. God grant that today's message will be blessed and that you will allow the Lord Jesus Christ, the interpreter of your need, to speak peace to your soul. He desires to do this, and he calls to men. Oh, that you would lend him your ear and open to him your heart.